In the triune God, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We will quiet ourselves to listen to those God's words, which are in Genesis chapter 32, from verse 23 to 32. And I will read these words for a mutual study in Jesus' name. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he said unto him, "What is thy name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. Therefore the children of Israel eat not of the sinew which shrank, which is upon the hollow of the thigh unto this day, because he touched the hollow of Jacob's thigh in the sinew that shrank. Amen. We heard here from Genesis a story of Jacob. And this is about Jacob's wrestling. I have seen here in the service site many of you little boys and girls who are happily here with your parents here at these services. And listen, you boys and girls also, to you at your homes, at home or even here at the service site, happened so that there is this happy laughter. And these small boys have wrestled, even though we have this hot heat where we are sweating even if we are sitting. But I remember when at home a long time ago, our boys were little, and they liked to, in this way, wrestle. And as a father, I had the task to monitor so that the wrestling does not go too far. Because, as we all know, we know what the outcome is if we get tired and the wrestle doesn't stop. It may happen so that this laughter becomes crying. This wrestle of Jacob that we heard is a special wrestle. How is it possible that our forefather of our faith, a father of a big family, had to go with this wrestle that went all the way up to the break of dawn? And if you listened, boys, closely, it happened so that Jacob's hip was broken, and that means that he lost this wrestle. But Jacob's wrestle is special in this way that, nevertheless, he still won. We need to study Jacob's life and find these reasons why Jacob came to this special occasion or situation. What happened to Jacob before this? He was returning from Haran. He was fleeing away from for over 20 years, and he was coming to this place where he originally left. And he was afraid. He was very afraid. Why? Because he escaped from his own twin brother who threatened to kill him. Why was Esau so angry with Jacob? We have to go back to the beginning. Let God help so that we will go through a few matters during this sermon. Esau and Jacob were twins of Isaac and Rebekah, and Esau was older. He was born first. And at that time, firstborn sons had special rights compared to others. So Esau had this birthright that Jacob didn't have. And it was told that Esau and he looked down upon this birthright, and he asked Jacob to get this kind of pea soup to eat. And Jacob said that if he gives him the birthright, he will do this. And Esau rejected this small matter. And then it is told that this Esau, growing up, took these wives from the neighborhood. He didn't want to fight over the temptation when their parents wished that they would take their wives from Haran, their own family. And so it happened. When Rebekah and Isaac were sorrowful over this matter, the mother sent Jacob to go and get his wife from Haran. Here in God's kingdom, it has always been understood that it is necessary for us to get our spouse from amongst God's kingdom. And then before returning, it happened so that Isaac, who felt himself very old, he wanted to bless his firstborn. And so he asked Esau to fetch him his favorite food. And Esau went to fetch the food. But the mother noticed the situation and hurriedly brought Jacob him his food and dressed him in a goat skin so that he would be known as his firstborn son. It is a beautiful picture of how a mother of congregation prepares the food and the sermon of the Holy Ghost. It has always been the food through which our souls live. But Esau prepared this food himself for Isaac. And there is this picture of the self-righteousness, as it is in the same way when Esau noticed that parents don't like these heat wives, and he tried to make this better by taking his relative as his spouse, which was Abraham and Sarah's or his hired wife, Ishmael's descendant. When you take a spouse from the heresy, that is what self-righteousness is, when Esau would have been able to repent of his sins. So Jacob left blessed by his father and mother and blessed by God in Bethel, where God came and strengthened him. And he promised Jacob this land. And he promised this blessing, which was to come in his descendants in the Lord Jesus. And there Jacob feels that this is God's room and door in heaven. And in this joyful mind and with a secure heart, he starts his journey. What was this journey like? This faraway journey through the desert to Haran. Surely he must have felt loneliness there. We also, at some point of our lives, have had even long periods where we feel loneliness, but God did not leave Jacob and does not leave you either. You who feel, dear listener, loneliness here on the service site or listening through the internet. So when he comes to Haran, he sees shepherds and he asks, "Do you know Laman?" And they knew him, and they say that there his daughter Rachel comes, and this is how it happens in the end, so that Jacob falls in love with Rachel and they go to Laman's home, and there Jacob serves his uncle Laban for 7 years and has to serve another 7 years so that he gets Rachel as his spouse. It is a long time to wait for a spouse, 14 years. And it is told there that the days went by so that they felt like they were just a few days. It is good, dear young ones, to wait and trust in God. They may be painful matters, but even in this matter, it is good to trust in God. God knows better than yourself. Nobody takes a spouse away from you if God has planned so for you. So Jacob Jacob's family consists of 11 boys and one daughter. And as a forefather of our faith, you would think that it would be a life that we would take example of. It was not. So there was a lot of joy, but there were also many conflicts. struggles, discrimination, competition, pride, jealousy, and shame. All of this is found there. Once when Rachel suffered from childlessness, Jacob complains about this. Or when Rachel comes and complains to Jacob, and Jacob says, gets angry and says, "Am I God?" Have I prevented you from receiving children? Even though he said this in as a corrupted man, there is this understanding of faith that children are a gift from God, that God is the Lord of life and death, and it is not something that we would interfere with our spouses. We get to live our lives as God has planned our lives, trusting that God gives those resources, even though many times we feel that we are tired. But when we trust in the Heavenly Father, He gives us strength. But if we start to doubt and question this, none of us want to or have the strength to go forth in this. Conflict. So when Jacob has got the spouse, he thought that now he can go home, and he suggests this to Laban. But when Laban noticed that because of Jacob he has become rich, Laban didn't want to let Jacob go. So then it was agreed that he continues to be his servant, and he will receive as a pay these sheep, and the rest of the sheep are for Laban. But God saw this distress that Jacob was in. He blessed his life so that the sheep were always the same color, that Jacob became rich and Laban became poor. And then we might guess that what did Laban think of this, that he became poor? What did Laban's sons start to talk of this, that Jacob has taken all their father's property? And Laban's face became dark, gloomy. And Jacob guesses from this that it is time for him to leave. And he is afraid that Laban does not let him go. So he leaves secretly from his family. And after 2 days, Laban notices this and he gathers all his men and they go after him, where they meet Jacob at Gilead Mountain on the east side of Jordan. And there they quarrel against each other. And there they found out that God had urged Jacob to go, and God spoke to Laban also and said that do not speak angrily with Jacob. And then in the end they came into agreement, and Jacob in previous conversations also had this kind of wrong upbringing. He thought of himself too much or too highly of himself. In the Old Testament, it says that all this richness happened through his steps. In the New Translation. And Jacob had become this great man, but he still was a believer, clearly, when God guides him there. When Jacob and Laban do an agreement and they say that your God appeared and guided me. And there we see that his faith had dimmed. There at the well, Laban has asked, "Is Jacob in peace?" And he was answered, "Yes, he is in peace." And there was Laban as a believer. He had left his faith after 20 years. There were lots of changes in Laban's life. He had started to serve idols. Do we have the same kinds of dangers here as today's God's children? When something here on earth becomes so important that it goes above God, it becomes as an idol to us. Laban's faith he lost it, and Jacob did not confess his faith when his wife Rachel stole this kind of idol when they left. Laban was of this particularly very angry on the mount when they met with Jacob. And Jacob's hardness was in this way that he said, death to him whom tent the idol hides in. Laban had searched all the different places, but the only place he did not look for, Jacob did not know, was the work life, so busy that were the house priest's tasks forgotten from Jacob. So then we come to this phase where Jacob meets Esau, and he remembers why he has left on this long journey. He's afraid. And here it is said that he was met with God's angels. The heavenly army. Appeared to him. And these fallen fathers and all of us weak ones, God loves us so much that even in these sinful moments, the heavenly army are always around us, even though we don't see them. Then Jacob continued his journey. And he sent to Esau and asked servants to ask or tell Esau that I have had to stay with Laban. I have sheep and servants, and I ask that now you would take me take me back. And then his men said that they met with Esau and they will come to meet you with 400 men. Then Jacob was afraid. What did he do? He divided these men in two. He thought that at least the other men would be able to run away if his brothers men would kill the others. Jacob's group of men was much smaller than Esau's group of men. He was very afflicted with this situation, so he starts to pray, God, Isaac's and Abraham's God, Lord, who told me this, return to your land so that you will succeed. I have not Save me from my brother Isaac's hands. I am afraid that he will kill us, me and myself and us all, my mother and everyone. But you have said that I will let you succeed. This is how Jacob talks of God's promises, and then he sends gifts to Esau, lots of flocks, and he asks them to tell Esau that these are gifts for Esau. And after this, we come to this written text that we read. We all understand this, that on the other hand, Jacob had this great fear, but then his life had come so hard. It was full of arguments and disputes. This confrontation, or this kind of polarization, as we say, does it happen at our homes, that we talk to our siblings or to our parents or to one another? So inappropriately and in a harsh way, it is good for us to go in front of a mirror, even in this matter. Comes to mind last evening's opening sermon of our brother, where he read of the letter to the Colossians, to many of this famous and loving portion of the Bible, what our home life should be like. This beautiful text, and discussion. And loving attitude. This text, we do not have time to go through, but only a little bit. Jacob, his wives and sons over the river over the night, but normally they journeyed over the day, but this was exceptional that he brought them over the night. And Jacob was a believing man, and he felt that it was time to take care of matters in front of God, and he brings his belongings with him. And there a man wrestled against him until the break of dawn. Still, Jacob had this proud heart that this repentance is so hard to humble oneself. This is what this wrestle talks about. And who was this man? It is not told here. It was not an angel. A moment ago, these angels were talked about, but here it is said that a man and this describes this kind of wrestle, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. So far, this wrestle went when the most powerful part of a man was hit so hard until Jacob finds himself from the right place. And the man says, "Let me go, since the day breaketh." And here we see that the man did not force Jacob to repent when he says that he can stop this wrestle and leave. But then Jacob says, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And this is how Jacob humbles himself. He got the grace to humble himself from his own sins to repentance. When you saw this service motto here in front of you of this God's word, which is eternal, in the same psalm, it is told of exactly these same feelings that Jacob then had. There in verse 67 onwards, it is said, "I was straying away. It was good that you humbled myself so that I was taught your commandments. It was right that you brought me to humble myself. Give your grace as your comfort, as you have promised to your servant." And in this way, this unknown believing man blesses Jacob. He was the angel of the Lord Sabaoth. Because he is the angel of the Lord. And this general priesthood we all have, even you little boys and girls, when you have disagreements and wrestles, you can bless and ask for forgiveness, and bless your fathers and mothers also. In this way, we remain believing. In this whole life of Jacob, there are two stars or two very special moments. This is the second moment when Jacob receives the blessing. He says that I have seen God from face to face and I still am alive. We know that here in the Bible it is told that our Heavenly Father cannot live or see cannot bear to look our Heavenly Father in the eye, but Jacob, under the blessing of this man, he was able to look God. And he was given this name Israel. And this did a great influence in Jacob's life. And they became close, the brothers, and they cried together. Jacob did not go with Esau. God's kingdom travels so slowly that it wants to travel its own way. So Jacob returns to Bethel, and there Jacob sees that there are household gods, and he asks the people to bury their treasures, for example, earrings, to bury them away, and he builds an altar and he sacrifices and he takes care of matters of the soul. And another, once again, God says that your name is Israel, fighter of God. And when the gospel is used and when the conscience is cared for, that is when you also, your brother and sister, a fighter of God, when sin attaches to us, when it speaks to us, fathers of families, especially, but it speaks to all of us. The world comes so close to us in many different ways. There are those idols. Let us fight against them. And you also who feel that this word hits your heart, believe all sins forgiven. In Jesus' name and atonement blood, and go joyfully believing and freely believing together with the flock of this God's kingdom. With a clean conscience, we can joyfully continue. Can I yet believe my sins forgiven? I want to, together with you, believe in this way. In Jesus' name, Amen.